So we have an account here of John's recounting of the resurrection morning. And one of the things that John records is he records the fact that Mary goes to grab hold of Jesus, and Jesus says, don't touch me, don't grab hold of me, because I've not yet ascended. And I'm never quite sure why that is, but I think one of the reasons why Jesus did that is he wanted to remind Mary, and indeed us who are looking into the account, I think Jesus wanted to remind Mary that actually he'd changed, something was different. Whereas before, the disciples and his followers had been able to have him and have him to themselves because they'd physically been able to touch him, I think Jesus wants to remind Mary and indeed us that he had changed. And now he wasn't just confined to individuals, but actually he was now available to everyone. He would no longer be confined by space and time, but anyone who subsequently chooses to put their faith and their confidence in Christ Jesus after the resurrection can have a relationship with him. And that's fantastic news, isn't it? That's great news for every single one of us who are here this morning, because all of us, I'm fairly certain, have come to that revelation of the truth and have put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not actually what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the blood. And I'm going to read just another piece of text, only a small piece of text, from Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 20 to 21. So we've had the account of the resurrection. We've had the resurrection story. And now in Hebrews, where it speaks about Christ, who is the great high priest, the great sacrifice, no one like him, says this in the closing words of the writer. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the writer there speaks about the blood of the eternal covenant. And the death of Christ, I want to say, did not merely precede his resurrection. It was the price that secured it. Let me say that again. The death of Christ did not merely precede the resurrection. It was the death of Christ that secured the resurrection. This is why the writer of Hebrews says this: God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. And in case you're not sure what the blood of the eternal covenant is, the blood of the eternal covenant spoken about by the writer is no other and none other than the blood of Christ Jesus himself. Jesus left his friends, his disciples, in no doubt as he shared that final Passover with them, because Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." When the Bible speaks about the blood of Jesus, it always refers to his death. You see, no salvation could be accomplished. Our salvation, our redemption, could not have been accomplished simply by Jesus bleeding. Our salvation was secured by his death, not just by a simple bleeding. Jesus bled to death, and that, the fact that he bled to death, is what makes eternal blood, or the shedding of blood, so vital in our story of salvation. So what is the relationship then between the shedding of blood and the resurrection? The Bible says that Jesus wasn't just raised after the shedding of blood, but the Bible tells us that Jesus was raised by the shedding of blood. Jesus was raised by it. The fact that his blood was poured out for us is the thing, the very thing that caused Jesus again, that qualified Jesus to come back again, to be resurrected to new life, and to impart to us again that gift of new life. That means that the death that Jesus went through accomplished something so full and perfect that the resurrection was actually the reward. Because Jesus said that he would lay down his life for us. Jesus said that his death, the pouring out of his blood, would cleanse us from our sin. And the fact that Jesus didn't stay dead but was resurrected is the proof in itself that his blood, that his death, was able to fully achieve everything that God wanted for us. His death was necessary. The wrath of God was satisfied with the suffering and the death of Jesus. The holy curse that was over us against sin was fully absorbed by Jesus. Remember, I've spoken over Easter about the fact that God didn't just cancel the power of sin. God didn't just cancel his wrath against mankind, but actually what happened was Jesus fully absorbed the wrath of God, took it upon himself. The obedience of Christ was completed to the fullest measure. The price of forgiveness was totally paid, and the righteousness of God was fully proven. If Jesus didn't rise again, then all of those things would have been proven to be false. But the fact that Jesus didn't stay dead, but actually he rose again, as he said, completely vindicates the faithfulness and the righteousness of our God. Hallelujah. You see, all that's left to accomplish was the public declaration of all that Jesus had accomplished. All that was left was an endorsement of the fact that Christ had overcome the curse and the power of sin and death. And God did that by raising Christ Jesus from the dead. Let me just paraphrase from the Message. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. In other words, friends, if we want a relationship with Christ Jesus, if we want to come into an understanding of the truth of the resurrection of Christ Jesus, you can't work it out by reason. You can't work it out by intellect, but it comes by revelation. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. Insiders, not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection, praise God. And every single one of us, Christ didn't just secure resurrection for himself, but Christ Jesus secured our eternal resurrection, hallelujah, to new life for those who are in him. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ when you were stuck in your old dead sin life. You were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it, all sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant cancelled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. That's what Christ has accomplished for us in being raised from the dead. That's why we celebrate so much. That's why the Resurrection Sunday, the Resurrection morning, is a great day of rejoicing and thanksgiving, because Christ has conquered sin and death, and he has proved God to be faithful and righteous and the holy God. When the Bible says, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin. That's 1 Corinthians 15:17. The point of that statement is not that the resurrection was the price paid for our sins. The point of it is that the resurrection proves that the death of Jesus was the all-sufficient price. The fact that the resurrection takes place proves that the life and the death of Jesus was everything that was necessary to purchase our salvation. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and I want to be clear, he did. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then his death would have been a failure. If he didn't rise from the dead, his death would have been a waste of history's time. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then God wouldn't have proven himself to be holy. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then Christ's sin-bearing achievement would not be true. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we would still be dead in our sin. But he did. He did. Romans 6:4 reminds us, Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so that we too might walk in newness of life. Resurrection Sunday is also a reminder of not just the fact that Christ was raised from the dead, but Resurrection Sunday is a reminder that we too have new life in and through Christ Jesus. The success of his suffering and death was proven by God to be true. And when we put our trust, our faith, our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, we are not still dead in our sins. We're not. We've been cleansed, we've been forgiven, we've been made whole, because the scripture reminds us, as we read in Hebrews, for by the blood of the eternal covenant, the great shepherd has been raised and lives forever. Hallelujah. Praise God.